Blog Talk Radio.
In the midnight hour. Broadcasting live and worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Joseph Duncan, and this is Vendetta Pro Radio. Live call-in number, area code 646-929-2066. You can listen to the show live. You can, of course, call us up if you have a comment or question. But I'm not going to lie to you, we're probably not going to have a lot of time for that here tonight because we got a lot of stuff to get to. Right now I'm going to bring in my co-host. He is a former two-time Vendetta Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. He is a man known around the world, ladies and gentlemen. This is Not Rock of Love, Billy Blade. Billy.
Joseph Duncan, what's up, man?
I'm hearing a lot about this show that we got going on tonight. Here we got a lot of stuff to discuss. So,
well, let me, before I get to that, I mean, obviously, Vendetta Pro is all about controversy. And about a year or two ago, we were the only radio show to have Taz call into our radio show. And if I remember right, I don't think Joey Ryan actually got a word in. I know he was talking to Joey Ryan, and Joey Ryan didn't say much. But yeah, they had a big angle going on in TNA, and Taz called in. It was amazing. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty awesome for Vendetta Pro Radio, the best pro wrestling radio show on the Central Coast and probably in California. Kevin Gill, by the way. Kevin Gill is amazing.
True.
Want to put that out there. Okay, hey, before I bring in Austin Draven, known as the NXT, he was in NXT, known as Judas Devlin. Let me just put this out there because it's very important. Vendetta Pro Wrestling is the host of Cauliflower Alley Club's, Casino Royale. We basically representative of Pro Wrestling Bushido, Empire Wrestling Federation. I mean, you name it. And the NWA. I mean, we have representatives from all over the world. That's going to be on our shows that weekend. I just found out today by Carl Lauer that the banquet passes are almost sold out. So if you're going to get your banquet pass, I'd get it soon. I got a list of people appearing at the convention and possibly the show. I'm just going to go through that list real quick because I have a feeling that Austin has a lot to say. So I want to make sure he has the forum to do that. So let me just go through the list real quick. This show is free, and we're about to put out the link in the next few days in order to get basic tickets. We're not going to have tickets this year, but basically to make sure you make it there and not be turned away, so to speak, because we're only allowed so many people in that building. Just got confirmation, Demolition, Axe, and Smash are both going to be there, and I heard they're going to be there actually all weekend. Larry the Axe Hennin is a new person I just found out of Tori and WWE Diva. Santana Garrett, which is the current NWA Women's Champion. Beth Phoenix, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Jerry Briscoe, Malia Hosaka, Gail Kim, Terry Taylor, Sergeant Slaughter, Dusty Rhodes, Jake Roberts, Sin Bodhi, Sam Houston, Jody Christofferson, plus, like I said, representatives of Pro Wrestling, Bushido, Empire Wrestling Federation, Gold Rush Pro Wrestling, Vendetta Pro Wrestling, National Wrestling Alliance, plus Kick Fight. So, you can't ask for a better show, plus it's free. So,
Virtual who's who.
Exactly. So, Joseph, let's get this party going, right?
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring on, he's a former WWE NXT superstar and a friend of ours, formerly known as Judas Devlin. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Vendetta Pro Radio, Austin Draven. Austin, welcome to Vendetta Pro.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, I'm on. Oh, wow. I'm crawling out of exile here. This is the first time I think I've had human contact in about 2 years. Wow.
I don't know. It's pretty staticky. Is that me or is that you guys? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
A lot of static has kind of creeped in, yeah.
Uh-oh. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you, but I'll tell you what. Hey, do me a favor. You call back, and I'll call back right now, and then we'll make it go away.
Okay. Okay, so we'll call right back.
Okay. Blog Talk Radio, baby.
All right.
Okay.
Live radio, ladies and gentlemen, Blog Talk Radio right here, Vendetta Pro Radio. We have a big time show. Of course, you can't possibly have everything go right? All right, so these guys are going to call in. They will be back here in just a minute. And, matter of fact, let's bring back in Billy Blade. Billy, you are with us now?
Yes, I am, and I don't hear static, so.
And let's give this another shot, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Draven.
Can you guys hear me?
There.
Yes,
absolutely.
We're all good now.
Much better.
Wow.
I don't know what happened, but, you know, it's Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, we're Blog Talk Radio, so we try to bring in the best radio quality, you know. So, hey, Austin, you know, I do remember Pizza some, you know, my character, you obviously know, is a rock star gimmick, you know. And I will tell you, it was pretty fucking awesome. And, yes, we can cuss, by the way. So it was pretty fucking awesome that we were able to fucking wrestle on the Sunset Strip in the Key Club against each other. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty fucking awesome.
Oh, man, that is going back some time. That was a lot of fun, actually. God, that was early, though. I didn't know what the hell I was doing back then, man.
Well, you know how it goes, though. You know, you live and learn, and you just keep taking away. And you actually did really good, I'm not going to lie. And trust me, I want to just say that. I'm sure you know that by now because I gave you advice after. And, you know, you've come a long way. And before you get into the controversy, let me just say, you were trained by the Ballard brothers, if I'm mistaken, at least in some form of your training. I know you trained a couple other places, but the Ballard brothers had a lot to do with their training, if I remember right.
They
and
instrumental, yes.
Okay, awesome, because, you know, we our school is the KFIB College as well, up in north, you know, in Central California, and they have a school as well in L.A. So, you know, they're working on their school, getting back up, but, like, the idea is the Ballard training and whatnot, you know what I mean? So, you know, the Ballards are one of my good friends, and obviously they put a lot of people on TV, including people like The Miz and whatnot, you know? So, you know what, we can sit here and ask you where you were trained, and we can ask you how long you like it and this and that, but I'm thinking that you want to get some stuff off your chest, am I correct?
I kind of do, you know. There's a lot that, you know, was out there about, you know, what happened to me when I went up to WWE and where did I go, and I kind of just disappeared, and I was kind of kept quiet for a long time, and there's a lot I want to talk about.
Yeah, for sure, and you know what, I've kept up in your career. Obviously, I was a big fan of yours. Vendetta Pro Wrestling, we were only able to use you one time, but I definitely wanted to use you against somebody that you were experienced with, which was Shannon Ballard. And the only time you wrestled for Vendetta Pro Wrestling, you actually went for our heavyweight title. And then I think shortly after that, you ended up going to TV. So the great news is, it's Blog Talk Radio. We can do what the hell we want. So you know what? Nice. Here's the idea that I want. Is go ahead and you can go ahead. We can go back to, if the story ends a little early, then we can go back to where you started and whatnot. But for right now, we want to know why you're not on TV, because quite frankly, we all thought that you should be on TV right now, especially on WWE TV. So this is your forum. A lot of people are going to listen to this, even if they don't listen to it live. So here's your chance to tell us exactly what happened. You can get in any details you want. We're not going to cut you off. There's no censors. So whatever you want to say, man, our forum is your forum.
Well, you know what? I appreciate that you think, you know, that I should have been on TV. And, you know, I felt pretty confident going in as well to WWE that, you know, I was going to be able to make it through the developmental system and get on TV. And, you know, after my first 3 months there, I was starting to understand how it was kind of working. And I was given good praise. But then the politics, you know, kind of creeped in on my career. And the next thing you know, I'm being told that I'm not good enough. And, I saw the writing on the wall. And I started to learn, you know, in hindsight, okay, I see where I probably went wrong. But then things, like, took a real dramatic turn. And, you know, ultimately, there was a major situation I had with human resources. I ended up getting two surgeries. And those surgeries that should have been routine ended up taking a year and a half to recover from, only for me to be told by doctors from WWE that I should hang it up most likely, and it's probably time I think about retiring, only to then go to my own doctor finally, separate from WWE, without them knowing, and that doctor saying, bro, you should be in the ring now. What the hell did they do? And, you know, after that,
Austin,
lawyers...
Can I ask you a question? Do you mind?
Mm-hmm.
Just because I want to give everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are you? Because, I mean, you're young in the business. So, like, how old are you?
Yeah, I'm 29. I'm about to turn 30, actually, in March.
Okay,
so
that's the age. And you've been you've been under contract for a couple years now that I think about it. So please continue.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure everybody knows that it wasn't like, you know, you're over the hill and this and that. So please continue.
No, look, their doc, yeah. So I'm kind of just abbreviating here, but I'm going to get into some details. But basically, you know, once it got to the point where I was with the medical staff, yeah, their doctors were saying one thing. I finally had a doctor look at my back. I mean, I had hip surgery, you know, and I finally had a doctor look at my back and say, hey, if we looked at your back from the start like they should have, then perhaps you would never have had the hip surgeries and wasted time doing that, and you'd still be in the ring right now. So as soon as I looked at my own doctor, I got back to health. And, like, they rehabbed me to health. I rehabbed myself to health on my own. And, you know, I'm back to doing high-level gymnastics because I was always a gymnast before wrestling. And I'm back to doing stuff like that with no problems. And I'm, like, ready to wrestle. So it's very frustrating that I had to lose, you know, a couple years on a potential career. But everything else that happened at the same time, it was like I was going to walk away anyway, even if the injuries didn't happen. And the real thing I want to get across is that, you know, I'm speaking out not because I'm a bitter guy who wants to go back there, but I'm now a strength and conditioning specialist. I have a master's degree. I'm concerned for a lot of my friends over there still. I'm concerned for their health. I saw a lot of people come and go with injuries that should never have happened. I think should never have happened. I think also you look at guys like, you know, Corey Graves now, who's been put to commentary because he had too many concussions. People don't talk about a friend of mine, Axel Keegan, who had to retire from wrestling. And then there's Mr. Adam Mercer, who, you know, he's been in the news for suing WWE. And I was there when he got his concussion, and I heard a coach tell him to go kill himself. I mean, things like that are like, it was shocking to me what I was hearing and what I was seeing on a daily basis. And once I saw the writing on the wall for my own contract, when I was starting to see, when the injuries were starting to creep in, I didn't know what was wrong with my body at the time. I knew I had to say something, you know. So, you know, I went to the medical staff, and that's a big no-no. You don't go to medical, especially when you're on hot water about if they're going to fire you or not because they don't like what you're doing. But I knew something was wrong with me, and I had to go. And their immediate thing was to look at what the source of the pain, which is like a knee problem, right? So they gave me an injection in my knee, told me to get back out there. Well, it was still hurting. My knee started to hurt then, and it was really in my hip. But I was given the kind of the Iggy from, you know, the coach, Coach Bill DeMott, you know, who I was on bad terms with at this time. I knew it. Yeah, you probably shouldn't be injured right now, man, if you know what's good for your career. So when talent's being told that, and I can't speak for anyone else, and I'm not going to say it's being told to other people, and I'm not trying to disparage Bill DeMott, I'm not trying to disparage WWE, but when that's being told, it's like, oh, wow, what do I do here? That's the mind fuck, you know, because you don't know where to go. So for me, that's the point where I was like, all right, look, I'm going to go to the boss. I'm going to go to Kenyon Seaman, who is my direct supervisor. Hey, man, I need to tell you what's going on down here with the injuries, also what I've heard on a daily basis. You know, you give us these human resource lectures all the time, and I'm kind of scared. I mean, you got Bill DeMott in my face or in other people's faces. You know, he's kicking people out based on their color on a daily basis, based on race. He's making anti-gay language lip slurs to friends of mine. They're telling me about it. I'm hearing it myself, allegedly, but this is what, you know, I ended up writing this stuff to Canyon because I was concerned. I don't know if this stuff should be happening. My friend Brandon Traven, who got released, got hit pretty hard in the head one practice, and he was in the trainer's room, and Bill DeMott came over and slapped him on the head. And it was just like, wow, is this stuff really going on? I saw him drop Enzo Amore on his head in the ring to show how not to do a body slam because Enzo didn't do it right the second earlier. And I'm seeing these things. I'm like, gosh, I don't know if this, you know, I'm not learning anything. I know I'm about to get fired probably anyway. So I'm on bad terms with Bill DeMott's, you know, favorite guys. So I'm getting buried. I know that. So I got to speak out. So I wrote it all down. I wrote it to, it's, you know, I'm just kind of gotten some kind of mysterious lore as the Judas letter among the boys. And, you know, I wrote it all down with the help of, at the time, the guy who was coordinating the event at NXT, Alfred Baronda from Brand Source, Inc., who doesn't work there anymore. But he actually helped me do it. We kind of wrote down everything I saw, everything that happened with my injuries, where I was at, and I gave it to Canyon. And I was like, here's, you know, I gave it to Canyon, I gave it to Dorothy Brill, head of human resources, and I gave it to Jane Geddes on an email. And it's like March, and this is, geez, like 2 years ago. And, or maybe even almost three now, come to think about it. Yeah, it's like 2.5. And then I gave it to them, and I heard nothing back. And I was like, what happened? Did they not get it? How could they all not get it? So I go up to Canyon at Full Sail, where he comes up to me, because Alfred pointed me out in the room, was like, hey, go talk to Judas. And he's like, I didn't get it. I heard Alfred said you wrote me something about what's going on in the Belt Metal. And I was nervous. I was like, yeah, I did. He said, well, I want to know everything. It'll be between you and me, but I need to know this because I want to help you guys out. And, you know, everything I'd seen at Full Sail with the NXT production was awesome. Everything I heard from WWE and all the people there were awesome. I never really even talked to Triple H. He was my boss. But I can't say anything bad about these people or their company message. You know, I was proud to work for the company. I just was really concerned with what was going on with me and my head coach, you know. So I did what I thought was right for all the boys. Like, I was ready to quit and come back here. I was missing just having fun on the indies. And I have an education, and I knew I could move on with my life. So I was like, all right, I'll tell you everything that happened. So I wrote it down. I wrote all about all the abusiveness, the anti-gay language, the injuries, the drills that sometimes I knew were causing my injuries, but, you know, you can't speak up. I knew they weren't safe based on a sound fitness program because, you know, that's my background. But, again, I'm not going to speak up. This is wrestling. You're going to just do what you need to do to get the job done. It's part of the code. I get that. So I told him it all because he asked for it. The next day, I walk into practice, and I'm called into the office. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I sit there with Bill DeMott. I sit there with Norman Smiley. No Canyon, just them. Just, you know, and Bill's like, all right, I've heard that there's a petition going on that you wrote a petition about me. I heard it from Osmond Cherry over there, who is one of the guys from Africa that was new, that was kind of getting heat. And I was like, what? Is this like, am I really going to he said, she said? And I'm like, how did this happen? How did this go from Canyon to everyone, you know? And I, of course, denied it. I'm sitting there with the guy who I wrote a letter about. I'm not going to say, yeah, I wrote a letter about him. So I denied it, and I was like, look, I don't know. There's no petition, and I don't know. I had a private conversation with Canyon. So I'm thinking, gee, you know, I go get out of the room. I'm sweating. I look at my email, and Canyon sent me an email saying, hey, I just want to let you know somehow they found out about the letter. It wasn't from me. It was from Cherry, Osmond Cherry. I'm like, is Canyon really playing he said, she said with me right now on email? This is like kindergarten. This is hysterical. So then it goes around. There's this big Judas letter that he wrote. And next thing you know, hey, guys, can I get a ride to the show? It's 3 hours away. Oh, man, no, we can't ride with you. We were told we're not allowed to ride with you. Hey, man, no, man, we can't. We just can't do it. It's heat. We can't. So next thing you know, the coaches gave the, hey, don't ride with Judas thing. So at this point, I'm totally ostracized. And now, you know, I'm kind of getting in a different, you know, face from Canyon. He's telling me on emails that, look, you know, I think you're just bitter because you're in my bottom five list. And so are the other guys you mentioned in the email. And I'm like, well, wait, how did I know I was in, you know, these guys didn't know they were in the bottom five list. A bottom five list? I didn't know that one of these existed. So it just got ridiculous at that point. And I was still in line to see the doctor for injuries. And this is the point where I was talking to guys in the back, like Rob Naylor, who's no longer with the company. And he was telling me, hey, man, I just want to let you know, they're Bill's saying that you might be faking your injury. You're doing promos with yoga poses. And it's like, how can you do a yoga pose if you're injured? And I'm like, hey, it's a yoga pose. Like, just sit there. It's nothing. It has nothing to do with the injury. I can work out right now. I just can't freaking lift some guy over my head. You know? So it was getting ridiculous at that point. And, like, back and forth, he said, she said. So the next thing you know, I finally see their doctor, and he does a quick little test on my hip. And I go, you know, I really think I might have, like, a labral tear, which is something, you know, in there, structural. It could be pretty serious based on what I've been researching. And he's like, no, it's a sports hernia. So they send me to Philadelphia. Adios, developmental. I'm going to Philadelphia to get my hernia surgery. It'll only take 3 weeks to heal, and then you'll be back in the ring. So you can move to Orlando, because this is when they were moving from Tampa to Orlando. And I'm already kind of hesitant. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this surgery and move to Orlando only to get fired after signing a new lease. So I'm kind of nervous. So I do the surgery, and I'm like, okay, this doesn't feel right. I'm still hurting pretty bad. What's going on here? And they're like, okay, we'll send you to Nashville. So they sent me to Nashville. So I went from Philadelphia to Nashville to see another surgeon. This one's for hip labral repair. And lo and behold, what I thought it was to begin with, it was. Yes, you have a hip labral tear. It's actually pretty bad, and we want to go in right now. You'll be on crutches for 6 weeks. But in 3 months, you'll be back in the ring. Big Show's having the same surgery. You'll be good. So I'm like, all right. I was like, okay, you know, give me the surgery. Let's do it. But, hey, you guys are moving to Orlando. You know what? Candy, you know my situation with Bill. Can I just go to L.A. and rehab this? Yes, absolutely. Get out of our hair. Go. You know, that's the vibe I got. So I go back to L.A. to rehab it. And at that point, that was the last time I was there. And after that, what happened was that 3 months goes by. Hey, I'm still in pain. Let's go see the doctor, do another MRI. Well, yeah, you know, it's healing slow, but, it, you know, you should be good at 6 months. All right, 6 months is here. Still healing slow. All right, 9 months? So 9 months comes along. I've been doing physical therapy for 9 months on a hip injury. So 9 months comes along. This was supposed to be routine. Now the doctor goes, well, you know, maybe you should think about retiring. This might not be for you. And I'm like, are you guys kidding me? You told me this was a three-month deal, and I'd be back in the ring. Meanwhile,
let me ask you a question, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Are these are WWE doctors that are telling you this. Am I correct?
These are the surgeons that WWE doctors sent me to. So they do
okay,
work.
Okay, so they're the ones. Yeah, they're the ones basically giving you the advice, correct?
Yes, and let me tell you,
okay.
WWE took care of this. I mean, they paid for all of this. They flew me in and out.
Of course.
You know, they definitely took care of it all. They were paying me on a weekly basis, my contract money. So, you know, from their end, they feel like they're taking care of me. At least that's what they told me. But after this last talk with the doctor, I was getting kind of depressed, you know. And I was like, so I called up Candy and I was like, look, I want to let bygones be bygones. I really do believe that if it wasn't for Bill DeMott, I would have been healthy all along. And if you had explored my letter, this is what I said to him in email. I said, if you explored my letter to the fullest extent and actually went and looked at what happened and not just made a few phone calls to some guys that you know are going to say what you want to hear, that, yeah, Bill's a great coach because they don't want to get fired. If you had gone further than that and really investigated stuff, I really think that, you know, someone like me, someone like my other friends, they wouldn't have been in the positions they were in, and I would have been able to go back. And, if Bill had been fired, I would have gone right back in a heartbeat or tried to, you know, but I didn't want to go back to that situation. It's definitely – that was my big thing, asking for my release. And I also had another opportunity that came up too. Like, I had a chance to be on a reality TV show. So, like, this is perfect timing. Let me just get out of this. They say I can't wrestle again. Well, now things get interesting because, you know, I'm convinced my hip is stopping me from ever wrestling again. I'm going to go pursue something else. And Canyon's like, okay, yeah. We'll get back to you this week and we'll set up the contract and have you out. And I wasn't asking for anything. It was perfect for everyone. Well, a week goes by, nothing. Another week goes by, nothing. Another week goes by, and now I'm like talking the reality show and I can't do this opportunity because it took too long with WWE, they're not getting back to me. So I missed out on that opportunity. And what do I finally get in the mail from WWE? Hey, go take this drug test at your local place. And I'm like, you got to be shitting me. You want me to take a drug test after I asked for my retirement? I mean, it's just the biggest insult I ever had, you know. And that, you know, that reminds me when CM Punk was saying he showed up at Raw and they asked him to, you know, do a drug test, and he's like talking about his knee injury or whatever. So it just blew my mind. I said, hey, look, I'm not going to take it. I want my retirement. And they're like, well, if you don't take it, we're just going to fire you on the spot, and you won't get any severance pay or anything. I'm like, geez. I talked to my lawyer. He's like, just take it. So I took it, and it was fine. I passed it. But it's still another month goes by, and it's like, all right, I'm going to go see my own doctor because, you know what, I just don't get why this is not getting better. Well, I go to a doctor that is an orthopedic surgeon, and he's like, dude, let me do an MRI of your back. MRI my back, and I have a huge herniated disc at L5-S1, which – is known to cause major referral pain into the hip. Eureka. This whole time, he's like, every doctor should look at the back first before the hip. This is my firm belief. This is a belief of a lot of spinal surgeons. So I'm really surprised they never looked at that.
Well, so basically, it was your back injury. It was basically your back causing your hip to basically have also so much pain, which I'm not knocking WWE and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You've been there. I haven't been there like you have exactly experiencing it. I've been there like on a
day to day, so to speak, you know. But what you're saying is your injury could have been prevented, because we all know that WWE should be checking on the back, which is the first thing they should be checking on more than anything, correct?
Yeah, and all those drills we would do, we had these crazy blow-up drills that we do in practice where it was like pick a guy up for 5 seconds that weighs 280 pounds, put him down, do three drop-downs, pick him up, put him down, do that until you pass out, basically. And I know in one of those drills is when it really went, and I remember because afterwards, like, I was pretty sore. My back was hurting a lot, but it always kind of hurt, but then that's when my hips started hurting too. And you know what? I'm not going to say I didn't have a hip labral tear. I did. But if you go look at the research on hip labral tears and hip repairs, a lot of people have hip labral tears and never have any symptoms. I might have had it my whole life from just the way I was structurally born. The pain, I really do, I'm convinced that it was all from my back, especially since we started treating the back and I have no more hip pain, finally. Miracle, right? And like I can do everything better than I ever could. And I never really got a chance to do any of that in WWE because I was in so much pain. So that's the thing that is so
Well, first, if you don't mind me, I don't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been in a ring with you, and, you know, I was a heel, obviously, you were the face, and yeah. I remember your size, and you were so agile. I remember talking to Bo Cooper. By the way, Bo Cooper is listening. He's a big fan of yours, by the way. He's a huge supporter of yours, by the way. And
yeah.
I guess he just made his debut in championship wrestling from Hollywood, and he's real happy about that. And so Bo Cooper's listening. But, you know, I've been in the ring with you, so I know how agile you are. So if you couldn't do half the things that I remember you doing, that's not a good thing, considering the fact that that was your – I think that was one of the things that WWE actually, you know, picked you up for, if I'm not mistaken. You know, your agility, your look, you're in good shape. So keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me tell you this, and that's, you know, part of what's in my big letter of that, you know, and that letter, by the way, is public domain at this point. A lot of the boys have it, so I would not be opposed to you having a copy and showing people if you want to see this, because it's out there anyway. I don't know how it stayed hidden so long. That's a whole other story. But, you know, 3 months in, you know.
Oh, hey, Austin, I'm sorry. Yeah. I have to cut you off only because I probably have about 3 minutes left on the regular broadcast, but we have 15 minutes of bonus time. And so you know, if we have to bring you back next week to talk about even more stuff, we can.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about us. So we can do it if we need to. So if we get cut off, we'll just do it next week. I had Jeff Hernandez scheduled, by the way, if you know Jesse Hernandez. He's scheduled for next Wednesday, but we can always push it back to the fall Wednesday if we need to get – this needs to be addressed, in my opinion, because this is really important for wrestlers like I don't know. I can't remember how to say his last name, but – Matt Capitoloni, I remember he had the concussions. And there was a couple wrestlers out there. I can't remember his name right now. Just bear with me. But he was the guy from Tough Enough, and he had he had that big campaign about it. You know, I can't remember his name right now. What was his name? Do you remember though?
No, I can't think of it. I know who you're talking about. I just,
you know, the guy from like the college. He had the college gimmick. So I just can't remember.
We've got about 90 seconds left of our regular time.
Yep.
If you are listening online, call us up at 646-929-2066, or you can hear the rest of the interview later on tonight at VendettaProWrestling.com or right here on Blog Talk Radio. After this, about a little bit more than a minute, we will go into our bonus time. And we'll be going into our bonus time in about a minute, which means we have another 15 minutes. So
You know, this is how I look at it. No offense for Joseph. You know what? If we don't get through this 15 minutes and you don't feel that you've gotten your word out, Austin, we're going to go next week and do another 45 minutes because I think, quite frankly, that a lot of people need to hear your story. I support a lot of people in WWE NXT. We got a lot of friends there, you know, Bailey and a few other people. And but there's always another side to every story. I mean, I'm not going to put names out there, but one of my trainers – was like walking on eggshells in WWE, and he did not want to be there. And he was there very short time. They wanted him to cut his hair, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And that was what his trademark was. I'm not going to mention names in this net. So he went on to TNA to become a huge star. So continue with your story. Now I think we might be in bonus time. This has been a privilege to have you on the show. Yeah, it's been a privilege to have you on the show, and let's keep going. And I'm thinking we should do this next week because I know there's a lot more out there. And maybe we can take some callers And maybe, you know, let's be honest. I mean, if someone wants to counter what you say, I'm sure you have a rebuttal. So let's continue. Thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, what I was saying is, like, so the whole thing was is, like, you know, we got a, and I covered a lot right now, which is, I'm glad we were able to get that in the 30, but there is a lot more. And the thing is that, you know, once I did, you know, get the spine stuff starting to take care of, that's when I personally got my lawyer involved, who's my, luckily it's my uncle, you know, and, you know, some of his advice was maybe I should pursue a lawsuit to them. But at the same time, those contracts that we signed in the first place are so ironclad. And it's like, you know, I'm an independent contractor, but I have no rights, which, you know, it's just, it's very depressing because there's nowhere else you can go, so they can do whatever they want. But I attempted to, you know, talk to them and, you know, say, hey, look, this is an MRI of my spine. You know, what do you guys want to do about this? And their response was pretty much, hey, we kind of honored the injuries we believed he sustained in the ring. And as far as that spinal injury goes, he may have had that from high school football. We don't know. Mind you, I passed their physical exam to get into WWE with flying colors, so I didn't have that.
Yeah, and correct, if you don't mind me, I keep cutting you off because I know details, like just like you do. Correct me if I'm wrong, you can't even get a contract unless you pass those tests. Completely.
Yeah,
I mean 100%.
And I'll tell you what, like I had, when they did my, check my heart, I guess the reading on this thing looked just a little funky, like there may have been a heart issue or something. So they put me through the ringer of heart tests to make sure I had an okay heart, and I do. My heart was fine. But they went through such extent on that, and they were ready to cut that contract if there was anything wrong. So they examined everything. You know, there was no stone left unturned on that regard. So,
and guess what? Guess what? I remembered. I'm sorry. Chris Nowinski.
Yeah. That was it.
Chris Nowinski, he started a whole program about concussions, which actually I think they investigated into Chris Benoit concussions. But I'm now, go ahead, I'm sorry, I decided to remember that so the listeners know who we're talking about. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, and so the whole thing then with me, then at that point with the spine, that's when we decided finally on a release from the contract. And, you know, I told them I won't disparage them. And, you know, the point of this conversation here is not me disparaging them. I'm kind of just trying to state some facts in some of the things that happened and the story of it all. And
well, you're
I'm
giving information. You know, you're helping people. Because, quite frankly, there's the people that you see on TV and the people that are, you know, like striving to be on TV. And there's those people like yourself. And I'm not going to mention other names, but there's other names out there like Corey Graves who was an amazing wrestler on the independent scene. And quite frankly, unfortunately, his career is now over. And there's other people like Chris Nowinski, by the way. I know he's been Tough Enough and whatnot, but you know what? He had a career ahead of him. So did Matt Caponi. I don't know how to say his last name. They both were from Tough Enough, but they had a career, and it got cut short. So unfortunately, people have to know about possibly a career outside of pro wrestling because, unfortunately, professional wrestling, like myself, I've been doing it 15 years, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I've been really lucky when it comes to injuries, but me and you both know that it's a risk, and there has to, you know, we have to know about the alternatives outside of pro wrestling because some people will do it to the end to where they end up, not technically killing themselves, but like, you know, messing their bodies up to the point where they are in a wheelchair. So continue.
Well,
I apologize. I just want to make sure people know that. So
there was a time where I had that mentality where I wanted to get in wrestling and I wanted to kill myself in the ring. I wanted to do the craziest stuff because I was so passionate in my heart about it. I've learned the hard way about what it's really like to get injured in the ring and kind of lose everything. Unfortunately, it happened in practice, not even in an actual match. You know, it was like overtime in practice. So I'm there, and you know, the thing is, though, is like in my letter, you know, I talked about guys like Rusev, you know, who's doing really well now, and he had neck surgery, and I watched Bill DeMott rip the shirt.
Can I actually
off.
Talk to you about Rusev actually real quick?
Yeah.
You know, he was part of Vendetta Pro Wrestling for almost in the very beginning. He's a really good friend of mine. He might not admit it at this time because I have a little heat with some of the people he was training with, but. Miro was amazing. He was very dedicated in pro wrestling and this and that. And I was very, very hurt when I started hearing the fact that he was getting injured a lot in NXT. And I honestly thought that he wasn't going to – because, you know, I heard your story, you know, even though you didn't tell me the story. You know, I hear stories cause as a promoter and a wrestler. And I heard that Miro was going through that. And so I'm going to go back to let you tell your story.
Yeah.
But I just want people to know that, like, yeah, I mean, it happened. I mean, he was on the verge, if I'm not mistaken. So please continue.
Well,
thank you.
I can tell you all about that because I was there when he was on the verge. And I sat down at lunch. We used to have lunch every day, me and him. And we after practice. And he got demoted to the bottom rung practice after his neck injury. And during that neck injury, he had this whole incident where Bill DeMott, as a rib, came over and almost re-injured his neck. He ripped the shirt off his back, and he couldn't believe he did that. And it was kind of a scary situation at practice. But he was able to recover, you know, and that I detailed that event in my letter, too. And it's funny because the people I detailed in my letter, they either got fired immediately or they got promoted to the main roster. So I don't know if there's coincidence there. But, you know, he and I would have lunch. He's like, dude, I think I'm done this month. And he said, I had this idea for this new gimmick, and it's what we see on TV now. So he tried it at a promo class, and he tried it with the right people watching. And next thing you know, his career starts taking off. So, you know, he got that lucky break, and I'm proud of him that he got it and he hung in there. And because I was right there, you know. So I saw it, and that's a good story, you know, because he was able to make it out.
Well, and you know what, Jody Christopherson, you know, Garrett Dillon told me to tell you hello, by the way. He was on. He was our guest last week, or 2 weeks ago, sorry. And I'll say one story about Miro or Rusev, so to speak. I mean, he was part of Vendetta Pro Wrestling. You know, he didn't train with us, but we brought him in, you know, and he was a, you know, we had a big relationship, Vendetta Pro Wrestling, with Knox Pro at one time or another. And Miro, man, let me tell you, this guy was so dedicated to be a pro wrestler, just like yourself and just like Jody and all these guys. He would go to, you know, go wrestle Knox Pro and then literally get in a taxi and work all night as a taxi driver just to make ends meet. So let's go back to your story. I'm thinking next Wednesday we're going to have you back on, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Because we only have about 7 minutes. And
Because,
you know, at that time when you get your story out next week, the final story, you know, everything, we can do some more stuff and talk about your career.
Yeah.
And by the way, and your career that you're going to be coming back to Vendetta Pro Wrestling. We'll talk about that. No problem. You know, we've already been talking about that, but continue. I apologize. I just want to get that out there so people don't think we're actually dissing Rusev, because he is a big friend.
Oh, no.
He's a friend with a lot of people that are listening and obviously yourself. So continue. I apologize.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's a good friend of mine. You know, I have a lot of, you know, I was, you know, lucky to actually meet a lot of people that are going to be lifelong friends from all this, too. And it's unfortunate, you know, when I did decide to speak out, a lot of people said, you know, hey, we'll have your back, we'll speak out, too. And, you know, of course, no one did. The thing is that once I was at the building and I was recovering from injuries, they finally decided to have the big, all right, we're going to lay it all out there. And I was told about this, so I'm only alleging this. But, you know, Bill DeMott came in the room with all the talent. He's like, hey, if anyone has any gripes, now is the time to tell me. And Canyon was there. And that was the big forum, the big investigation about the whole thing, apparently. And what's so important, I guess there was phone calls made, too, to certain people. But it's just like, of course, no one's going to speak up in one of those situations. Because
yeah, no one never will at that point, because then they're in, you know, the focal point, and that's usually a bad time to do that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the guy who spoke out is, you know, having random operations on every part of his body. No one knows what happened to him. Like, of course they're not going to speak up. So, you know, I felt like I was a martyr for the whole thing a little bit. And, you know, I wanted to be a martyr of change, if anything. But, you know, from what I hear still, is things are still pretty, you know, tough on a day-to-day basis. Now they have a new facility. And I've never been in the facility, so I can't speak about what goes on. And I'm sure WWE could, you know, come down to me for this and maybe put out a release saying how great things are there. And there's no way for me to challenge that. But what I can tell you is that there's, you know, as long as, you know, someone like Bill DeMott is head coach down there, I'm concerned from a point of, you know, scientific knowledge and understanding, you know, training and understanding what kind of person he is. I'm concerned for people's health, both mental and physical. So, you know, I'm coming from that place. You know, I'm not trying to hurt.
Yeah. No, for sure. And let me, can I, I'm not even going to stick up for you, and I'm not going to stick up for Bill, so to speak. I mean, I did start about 15 years ago, and unfortunately, you know, no offense for you or somebody that is going up, you know, a little bit newer in the business, if you don't mind me saying. They got that old school mentality, you know, where, hey, you know what, I'm going to make you bump 100 times on the concrete, you know.
knowing the fact that, like, no offense, it's not gonna work. And, but I love, you know, don't I love Bill DeMond just because I actually was in Deep South with him, and but he treated me good. But maybe because I came in with some, you know, I came in with some credentials, you know, being in the business at that time, I think 10 years or something like that. So like that might have helped. But you know better than I do. You've been there for years, you know, with him coaching every day. I didn't have that pleasure. I was only with him maybe a couple weeks or 3 weeks or a month, you know. So can continue. We're almost done with the interview, but keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, one last thing I want to say. Yeah, there's one thing to do the old school kind of training and bump 100 times on concrete. You know, I can even get that kind of mentality. Let's separate the men from the boys, old school. I get that, and I wouldn't, you know, I would have a problem with it, I guess, but I could respect that. But when it gets, it went to another level. And, like, here's one example.
I'll tell you the level right now. I'll totally tell you, and you're going to tell me the same thing, guaranteed. I mean, this is my opinion. You're signed to a contract. It doesn't mean you have to debut tomorrow. So my opinion is you don't have to be doing 100 goddamn bumps on the concrete. You know how to bump already. The idea is to build a superstar, not to build a rookie and make them, you know, make them quit. And correct me if I'm wrong, it's like, because you've done this and I've done football in high school, it's like high school football on Hell Week, and it's not supposed to be that way, correct?
Exactly. And then even with the matches, though, and this is the last thing I want to say tonight, is that I remember my last match before the injury, I was wrestling Sawyer Fulton, who's still down there, and he's one of those guys who, you know, is one of Bill's guys. And he was, you know, very new when I wrestled him. I don't know if he's improved or not. I've not seen any of his work. But when I got out there, before the match, Bill said, hey, I don't want there to be any characters in this match. I want no heel, no face. I just want two guys wrestling. By the way, there's no strikes allowed, too. Go figure it out. I'm like, what the fuck is this? He's going to send this tape in and show him how shitty I am and not tell him about the stipulation. And that's the vibe I was getting. And then next thing you know, right before I go out, he's like, scratch that, Judas. Go out there and do your new character stuff. And I was just spun. And I was like, what do I do right now? And I went out there and I had a pretty bad match. So it
yeah,
is
he,
like,
yeah, he was playing you, bottom line.
He was playing me. You know,
yeah, he was playing you. I'm sorry.
You know, every match he was telling the ref, hey, tell Judas to turn it up, hit him. And then afterwards, why'd you hit him?
Testing you, in other words.
Yeah. It was a major test. I could tell what was going on. That was towards the end when we were on the bad terms. But it was like, okay,
yeah,
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just things like that, too, that's just kind of like, all right, I just don't want to be a part of this.
No, I understand. Hey, Joseph, how much longer we have, Joseph, real quick?
We probably get about another 2 minutes.
Okay, so Austin, do you mind coming back next Wednesday? And we'll continue this. And you know, this is actually really good because this is actually educational for a lot of young workers out there, even guys that have been around a long time. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'd love to get into that with them too, and like kind of like, you know, because I know everyone still wants to go there, no matter what anyone says. So you know. I could definitely, you know, hindsight, I could give a lot of good advice on what you should and should not do.
Yeah, of course. And you know what? We only have a couple minutes left, but definitely what I want to do is I want to get your contact information on Facebook, on Twitter, because I know how much they want you to use Twitter, quote-unquote, you know. So do me a favor. Can you plug yourself right now and let us know? And then Joseph will go ahead and plug Vendetta Pro Wrestling. And, of course, we were very honored to have you wrestle with us and also get to wrestle Shannon Ballard. I talked to you after the show, and, you know, we had a great conversation about everything. And I congratulate you. So please plug everything to get everybody wants to get a hold of you, okay?
Yeah, my name on Twitter is at Judas Draven, not Judas Devlin anymore. It's Judas Draven. And then Facebook is actually my real name. You can add me there too. Austin Mattelson, MATELSON. And then also I have a website called athlates.com, athlates, athlates, which is a new fitness program that I'm working on to help injured athletes get back to what they should be doing. So I hope people want to check that out too. Especially, it really would help wrestlers anyway. So that's my kind of stuff right there.
Awesome. You know what we'll do is Joseph Duncan does all